I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tuesdays, 5:20. It's the place to be on 92.3 The Fan, because we've got Albert Breer now on the Fan hotline to talk all about the Cleveland Browns. It should be noted, we have not mentioned yet that David Bell retired, former Browns third round pick. So I want to make sure I throw that one in there as well.
Yeah, we gave him about as much as he gave us.
Yeah. Ooh, okay. Ouch. Albert, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, guys. Well, that is, I would say I do think that's an important story. I think the Browns actually deserve some credit here. They did right by the guy, which we don't always see that with NFL teams in situations like this. A lot of times you'll see the teams will run for cover and try to absolve themselves of any sort of blame in these situations. So I do deserve, and we don't need to spend much time on it, but I do think they deserve credit for their handling of it.
So can you walk us through that? Because I think maybe I'm hearing a story I haven't heard yet.
Yeah, I mean, long story short, surgery that went bad, a really, really scary situation for him personally. And I don't want to screw up the facts. So, like, the details are out there on the internet now, but the Browns, the Haslams, as I understand it, were outstanding and did everything they could to make it right. And, again, like a lot of times, like lawyers get involved in these things and, they'll tell an owner to go run for the hills. You know what I mean? Like, and don't take on any liability or blame here. And it sounds to me at least like the Browns went the other way on that and did the right thing. So good for them.
Albert, it does feel like the Browns in the last couple of years have worked really hard to try to make that their mantra, whether that's Callahan going to Tennessee to be able to coach under his son, or whether that's even Joe Flacco last week and being able to go out and finish out his career somewhere else, even though it's an interdivision trade. How much goodwill does that actually build up, though? I think fans are always curious how much that actually does.
Yeah, I think it matters. I think you want to have a reputation of being the sort of place that people want to work, because it's such, in the end, this is like still sort of a small world, like the network of coaches, the network of scouts, the network of players. Like it's still as big as it seems to all of us. Like all these guys talk and word can get around fast in those circles when teams aren't doing things the right way. I mean, I just think of the other end of it, like how hard it's been for the Bengals to shake their reputation of being cheap. And I can still remember, having that conversation with guys who played there about like how the Gatorade, and this is like kind of a funny old anecdote, but like how they wouldn't have like actual Gatorade. They would have the mix, so you'd have to take the powder and put it in water and shake it up. You know what I mean? I'm telling that story because like that sort of stuff gets around, Like, so it's just an example of like, kind of like what sort of environment are you going to be working in if you go there? And, I think in that way, this sort of thing can certainly help, if you're the type of place where people want to work when you're looking for an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator, or you're looking to acquire a free agent, or you're looking to trade for a player, little things like that can make a difference.
So it's kind of interesting. You make the point about what a small community this is. I'm assuming you saw Mike Tomlin's comments about the Joe Flacco interdivision trade, where he says, yep, Andrew Berry must be smarter than me. How did you read those comments from Mike Tomlin this week?
Well, I was surprised that he was so forthright about that. Maybe he's tired on a short week and just let it go. I can relate with that. I read it basically, Nick, as it was just my interpretation of it. I think Mike and Kevin have a good relationship, and so I felt like it was Mike getting Kevin's back a little bit. And I think to some degree it was, from a coach's standpoint, I wouldn't do that. I think it was showing some sympathy for the situation maybe the coaches were in, where it's like, all right, like now my safety net's gone and it's going to be tough for me to compete if I don't have like that veteran quarterback on my roster anymore. Again, that's my interpretation of it. I wouldn't put words in Mike Tomlin's mouth, but that's sort of what I thought it was.
Albert, we've kind of been talking all show long about this trade that Evan Roberts in New York came up with. He covers the Jets, and he wants the Jets to trade for Shador and offering up a fifth-round pick in return. Is there any feasibility to a team potentially calling and trying to lift Shador away from the Browns?
I would think like Evan. I know Evan a little bit. I would think like maybe Evan wants to do that because it'd be good for his show, right? I can't think of why else the Jets would want to do something like that. I don't know. I mean, I don't think there's much of a trade market out there for him. I think, like, quite honestly, I think the idea that was floating around last week when we didn't know whether or not he was going to be the number two, they should march in there and ask for a trade. It's categorically some of the dumbest things I've ever heard in sports media. And the fact that it was coming from players was like completely mind-blowing to me. I mean, look, he's a fifth-round pick, all right? And, like, I don't know how many times we have to go through that, but, like, it's those guys, by definition, are developmental players, So, like, the idea that, like, he would take a redshirt year or he would need a redshirt year, it might be best for him to sit. Like, we've said that about a million different quarterbacks. So why is it, like, out of the realm of possibility the best thing for Shador Sanders personally, not talking about the team or anything else, is to have that redshirt year and have a chance to learn? And I don't even know, like, whether or not, like he would agree with that. But, I don't know. Like, the conversation on him, and this has nothing to do with him. This isn't him. The conversation around him has gotten so freaking stupid I can barely handle it anymore. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't know. I don't think there's much of a trade market out there for him. Based on what we saw in the preseason, I don't know why, like, some team would go and make a trade for him in midseason. But if the name recognition is there, then people can latch on to it and fill their segments and their column inches and everything else. So, more power to them.
So we definitely have had conversations about this and how just irregular the conversation is, and size and scope, and the energy and the anger, or on either side, really. I guess for somebody who's watched so many big stories come to the NFL and in the way that they've been processed, why do you think the Shador story is where it is, where, again, every conversation feels life and death and there's a gulf between both of the extreme sides?
Because nobody involved is trying to stop it. And I think, like, with Tebow, so there was this thing with Tebow, right? And, like, the thing that always bothered me about, like, the Tebow conversation is, like, no one paid attention to, like, he's been, like, it was like 2 years out of football completely, right? Like, and this is nothing personal against him. These are his own decisions, but, like, if he loved football that much and wanted to develop that badly as a quarterback, why didn't he go to Canada, right? Like, somebody up there would have had him, and he would have had the chance to get in games and develop and work with coaches and make a living. Like, Colin Kaepernick, same thing. Like, if he wanted it that badly, why didn't he go to Canada? And, I know, with guys who are that level of star, it can be a tough thing. But if you want to be an NFL quarterback that badly, then why are you willing to sit out seasons? You know? And I remember those, the conversation around him got so stupid. People weren't bringing things like that up. The conversation around Tebow and saying got really dumb. And, like, people wouldn't bring those sorts of things up. It was just like, well, why isn't he a starter? It's like, well, why don't we start with why isn't he developing somewhere as a backup, right? But no one around Tebow, including Tebow himself, was stopping the conversation from happening. And I think there was, like, sort of this willful ignorance to what was going on around Tebow, right? Like, where it was, like, no one wanted to ask the real questions. It was just, like, let's just, like, let the circus roll on. And because nobody around Tebow or Tebow himself wouldn't stop it, it just kept going. I mean, have you gotten any sense that anybody around Shador is stopping this conversation?
No, doesn't seem
into
no.
It, right?
The same around the
no
Browns,
one's
though.
Saying, like, no, but I mean, like, no one's saying, like honestly, and this isn't a shot, but like, why isn't Shador saying, like, I just want to get better today? You know what I mean? Like, I had a great practice. This is a great opportunity for me to develop as a quarterback. I just want to get better today. You know? Like, why does everything have to be about him starting? Like, I don't know. Like, I've seen the young players in those situations, like, say those sorts of things, you know? Is he too big a star for that?
He might think he is.
I just think it's an interesting conversation. You know what I mean? It's not a shot at anybody, you know? Because I think to some degree, some of these guys become almost like child stars, where they've been famous for so long, it's like their perception of reality is warped. It's a much larger conversation to have, you know? But I think the right answer for him in these situations would probably be, look, you know, I this is a great opportunity for me to develop on a day-to-day basis with NFL coaches and an NFL system, and I'm going to make the most out every day. And, like, if you know, they feel like I'm ready to go, then they'll put me out there, you know? Like, and how much this would be diffused then? You know, instead we're hearing about how he's one of the 32 best quarterbacks on the planet. Like, how is that, what does that have to do with anything else, with anything that's going on right now, you know? I don't know. I mean, like, I think that there's, like, and that's not going to help him get more opportunities later either, right?
Yeah, what I think is interesting, though, is that I've noticed the conversation around Shador fans over the weekend kind of shifted after watching Dylan Gabriel not have an offensive line and not really have much with the receiver help either, dropping passes and really getting no separation. It was
Dylan Gabriel threw the ball 52 times on Sunday. He dropped back 58 times.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Like, that is, I think Kevin and Tommy and all those guys are really good offensive coaches. But I don't know what young quarterback is going to survive in that situation. You know what I mean? Against that defense with that offensive line. He threw the ball. Like, 58 plays.
Yeah, and Albert, I think that's why Shador fans over the weekend were like, okay, fine. Go ahead, Dylan. Do your best. We'll hang out.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing. So that's the thing. It's like I think a lot of times these conversations lack context, you know? And I just think look, there are some guys that are better off playing right away. But I'd say 80% of them aren't, you know? I don't think it's a mistake that some of the greatest quarterbacks of all time sat. You know, like if we look at like the great ones from like the last era, the era that we would say just concluded, right? You know, look at who you've got. You know what I mean? Like you've got, you got Tom Brady who sat for his entire first year, right? You've got Aaron Rodgers who sat for his first 3 years. Peyton Manning played right away, but I'd say like Peyton Manning had a rare level of preparation for the job, and I think he set the league record for interceptions as a rookie, right?
Yeah.
Like, how would that be digested today if that happened now? Pat Mahomes sat for an entire year. Lamar Jackson sat for half of his rookie year. I don't know. I mean, like I think, you know, like too often these kids are forced out there in the situations where they're on bad teams. And I think that's why we're seeing a lot of reclamation projects now too. You know, Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold and Geno Smith got the opportunity to sit after they flamed out and got the chance to learn that way. Right. Alex Smith, like, I mean, how many different coordinators and how many different, it's just, there are so many examples of these guys being failed by their circumstances. I've always said this, like, how many guys went into bad circumstances and thrived? I can think of one, Andrew Luck, right? Like, I think Andrew Luck was not in the best circumstances, and he made the playoffs as a rookie and went one round further in his second year and one round further in his third year. So, like, there's one example of a guy. And then he wound up getting so beat up that he had to retire early. I think it's a fascinating discussion that we could spend 4 hours on, you know? But I don't know what exempts Shador from that, and what makes the best thing for Shador just to be to throw him out there. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
Why? So he can grow his brand? I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know. I would tend to think, like, most guys are better off sitting. And guys with the profile that Sanders had coming out are usually the ones who are best off sitting. You know? So I just, you know, the guys who succeed, a lot of the guys who've had a ton of success are the five-year college guys, right? And the five-year college guys who spent time, like, in the biggest of big-time programs. And that's Joe Burrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Joe Burrow spent 5 years in pro-style systems at Ohio State and LSU, thoroughly prepared when he came to the pros. And, you know, I don't know. But that's like 10 or 20% of those guys. Most of them aren't ready. So I don't even know where we landed on this is the best thing for Shador to be playing right now. I don't know if that's the case either.
Albert Breer of the MMQ.
Dylan's a good example of it. Dylan played 6 years in college. That's why he looks competent out there, you know?
Albert Breer, MMQB on the Fan hotline there. So you've said, and you've been staunch in this since going back to last January, that Barry and Stefanski are safe, Haslam has their back, and you've always left a sidecar here unless things get, like, catastrophically bad. I know they're 1-5.
Yeah.
I expected them to be about 1-5, but are we anywhere near catastrophic yet for Barry and Stefanski?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think, like, this is going to be – I think how they're graded, you know, by ownership this year is going to be based on, like, how – and you guys, we can run through the names again. Mason Graham, Carson Schlesinger, Quinshon Judkins, Harold Fannin, like, how those guys look, right? Like, and, you know, I think the expectation is the team will get better over the course of the year because of that. But look, like, the core that they made the playoffs with aged out, and they've got some holes as a result of that, when combined with the fact that they didn't have first-round picks the last 3 years before this one, right? So, is it DeJuan Jones? Is it somebody else? Who's going to be the top receiver on the team next year? Do you have an edge rusher that's going to play opposite Myles Garrett for next year? There are, you know, like, still a lot of questions to answer. The good news is they've got the capital to address a lot of that coming out of the year. So, like, your hope is that the positions that they did address they did put my young talent into are looking pretty good at the end of the year, which, you know, I think, you know, gives you, you know, some confidence that whoever you're bringing into the building with the draft capital that you have for 2026 will develop the way that this last group, like, seems to be developing right now.
Albert, will Jim Schwartz be a serious contender for the Titans head coach opening?
I hadn't heard that. That's an interesting question. What about Eddie George?
No, no, Albert, Bowling Green just beat Toledo. We got Pudge the Cat. Keep your hands off my head coach, sir.
Oh, I didn't know you're a Bowling Green guy.
Yeah, I have suffered. The whole Loeffler thing, the Jinx era. Just give me like two more years of Eddie. Come on, man.
We had a colorful nickname for Bowling Green that I can't say on the air when I was at Ohio State. which we had a lot of nicknames for a lot of the schools. I'm sure you guys know. They, right? Probably offended some people there. I think Jim Schwartz, I'd be surprised. Now, I do think that they're going to be looking for somebody with experience. And I do think that that's going to be a factor. But I also think if you look at the history of the guys who are there now, the general manager, Mike Borgonzi, had a lot of success with Andy Reid, obviously, in Kansas City. And then Chad Brinker was with offensive coaches in Green Bay, and Mike McCarthy and Matt LaFleur, and they got a young quarterback they've got to develop. So I think, like, Jim Schwartz's knowledge of ownership there and knowledge of the situation in Nashville helps. His experience as a head coach helps. I tend to think that they're probably going to lean more in the direction of offense, but it's not impossible.
Albert, great stuff, buddy. Sorry for attacking over Eddie George. He's very protective. We appreciate you, buddy.
There was no laughter then after I gave the right state and Kent State.
Your phone cut off, so it really wasn't even like a. Just cut off.
Good. Well, you guys know the Kent State and Rice State are nicknames, so I won't repeat them.
All right, that's fair. Be good, buddy. We appreciate
thanks,
you.
Albert.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You too, bud. Albert Breer there on the Fan Hotline. Great stuff with him. We have much to react to. Okay. Tiger out of the cage with the Eddie George thing. But more from what we heard on Albert in about 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I thought that still was the most impressive thing, that he just put a name on it, as opposed to just being like, I can't believe Cleveland traded within the division. I think the fact that he put Andrew Berry's name on it is why so many people said, coaching fraternities, protecting Stefanski.
Very intentional.
Yeah.
When you put the name on it, it's very, very intentional. Albert had a lot to say in that whole entire stretch. You could tell he was fired up about the idea that and you could tell as he's describing it, he's almost coming up with the idea that the Browns are in fact protecting Shedeur Sanders in a way. And more this offensive line looks bad, Nick, and more these receivers look like they don't know what they're doing, I'm starting to side with some of these Shedeur fans from over the weekend that are giving off the impression of, okay, hey, Dylan wants to go out there and get murdered every week. That's fine. Go right ahead.
I just thought, you know, as the season went on, and then as you, okay, well, the starter's now out. Now it's Dylan Gabriel's day, right? And then, all right, now he's out. Maybe it's Shador's time, or however this thing transpired. I really thought, hey, as this reveals itself, the discourse, the dialogue, it'll get simpler. It'll get simplified. Somehow, 2 weeks into Dylan Gabriel, it's just not gotten simplified. If anything, it's gotten more heightened and more both sides screaming at each other, whether you're a Dylan guy or a Shedeur guy, or you think they both stink and you're getting, like, whatever it is, everyone just seems to be getting angrier and angrier about the quarterback situation no matter the result.
Well, it doesn't matter what side you're on. You should have looked at what happened this last weekend where he dropped back 58 times and threw the ball 52 times with that O-line and that receiver and been like, oh, geez. There's environment in the NFL matters, and the environment that Dylan is currently in, not conducive to be able to play winning football.
The closest I've heard to Albert criticizing Kevin Stefanski over the last 2 years.
Yeah, it seems like he's starting to get ready. Yeah. And I don't know, maybe, you know, he said last week when we asked him about Bruce Arians, he said he was going to maybe poke around and see what the conversation was like, as anytime BA, as he put it, because he can call him BA. I can't. I don't know Bruce Arians.
Yeah, I thought it was Brian Anderson.
Yeah, right?
Geneva's
like,
own.
But he did. He's like, anytime BA says something, he's well-connected. So I do wonder if Albert started to poke around a little bit and maybe, just maybe, he's reading the NFL room around Stefanski at the moment.
So the two bits of breaking news that involves Cleveland sports this afternoon. About an hour ago, David Bell announced his retirement. That's something we talked with Albert about. And then Jeff Passan just tweeting out within the last 5 minutes, the Mets are hiring Kai Correa as their bench coach. He had been the bench coach and interim manager in San Francisco, and he was kind of a chief of staff for Stephen Vogt here in Cleveland since 2024. So That is at least one loss for the Guardian staff, still awaiting the word on Carl Willis. But as we continue the discourse with the Browns going forward, Lance Reisland joins us. He's a tape guy. He's a football guy. What's fixable in the Browns offense? That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.